And so I appreciate seeing all of your beautiful faces today. And this morning especially, I'll be watching. Anytime collectively that you all look down at your phones, I will assume something is happening in the hockey game. I will just continue, and you guys jump back with me when you're ready. But church, it is good to be in God's Word today. We are jumping into the book of Ezekiel, and the book of Ezekiel is almost, it'll feel a little bit like a continuation of the book of Jeremiah, because Ezekiel is going to bring many of the same challenges to the Israelite people as Jeremiah brought, only now they find themselves in Babylonian captivity. And so the book of Ezekiel takes us into almost the very close of our season 8 of Heart Strong. If you didn't know, Easter is coming quickly, and so we will be in season 8 all the way up until Easter, and then we'll take a pause for our Easter season, and then we'll jump into our last season of Heart Strong, season 9. Now, if you're joining us today, all of these seasons represent a 3-year journey that we've taken through the Bible. And so we started in the book of Matthew, we read through the entire New Testament, and then we jumped into Genesis, and we are quickly approaching the end of the Old Testament. And so just even before we ever reach there, church, well done. Well done. Like, this has been an extraordinary time for us as a church, digging into the richness of God's Word. And I want to encourage you that one of the foundational pieces of us here at Life Center is not only are we going to reach the end of this 3-year commitment as a church, but we are going to do it well. We are going to finish well in these seasons. And I don't know how you've been processing the book of Jeremiah, and maybe you've already dove into the book of Ezekiel. Last week, I know we started in it in Heart Strong on the mornings and in the evenings. We'll continue in it on Zoom. It's available for you guys each and every day, Monday through Thursday. Maybe you've felt this, but I really see a lot of parallels of what God is speaking to the Israelite people to where it is that he's calling our heart to today. When I look at the world that around us, when I look at all of the confusion, when I look at all of the chaos, when I look at all of the unknowns, I continue to hear through the book of Jeremiah and now through the book of Ezekiel, I continue to hear God speaking to his people, where are your eyes focused? My people, who has your heart? My people, who has your heart? Will you return to me? Will you give everything to me? I have so much in store for you. My plans are not finished yet. I'm not through with this world. I'm not through with the promises. I'm not through with everything that I have. But where are your eyes focused? And so right at the beginning in the book of Ezekiel, we're going to see this challenge come before Ezekiel, this prophet, where it really is going to help us, I believe, today to remind ourselves every day of this week, where am I focused? Do you remember the first time that you realized beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is real? Do you remember that moment? Maybe you're one of those lucky ones, and if so, don't wave your hand. I don't want to see it because I'm still praying for it. But maybe you're one of those ones where God has spoken your name audibly, and you're just like, oh, I got to tell Pastor Mitch as quick as possible. He's going to be like, yes, so excited for me, but also like just to encourage him that it happens, you know, just to tell him, keep praying, Pastor Mitch, it'll happen one day. But maybe you've heard God speak your name, beloved. What a gift. What a gift to hear God call you by name. Or maybe you're here and you've seen somebody miraculously healed, where the doctors had given a diagnosis beyond a shadow of a doubt, as far as science could take us. This is where this was going. But God, come on. Or maybe you're like one of the youth on the retreat a couple of weekends ago where you specifically carved out time, maybe in fasting and prayer, where you carved out time to say, God, this time is yours. And he showed up miraculously. It was a very special thing to be invited onto that youth retreat. It had been about 3 years since I'd done one. The last one that I actually did was when I came on staff here at Life Center. They said, hey, would you mind going to our youth retreat? I said, of course. Like, fresh off the youth pastor heart, like, of course I'd do that. This year, as we were packing hampers for Christmas, our beloved youth pastors, Pastor Angel and Pastor Skyler, came up to me as we were packing, and they said, hey, like, don't you just love youth? I said, yes, I love youth. They're like, do you miss it at all? I said, I do. They're like, well, what about it do you miss? I said, I miss the fact that when you're walking with young people, they are so willing to let God course redirect. That they are so willing to say, okay, God, if you're there, I will change my entire life and go on that path that you want. I was like, I love that. And so we continued packing, grabbing things off the shelves. And eventually they came back to me as we were closing up. They said, so you really love youth, eh? And I said, okay, hold on. My spidey senses started tingling. I said, girls, what do you want? I was like, do you need a speaker for your youth retreat? And their eyes, they went, oh, would you? And I was like, oh my goodness. It was just such a fun time to be invited into that space. And they had asked many, many, many different pastors before me. They just weren't able to be there. But as you're praying into events like this, you know that God is about to do something special. When as you're beginning and getting ready for that first service, out of the 95 students that were there, countless of them came and said, we can't wait to see what God's going to do this weekend. We know because we've been praying into it. You know, I put everything aside. I know that God is going to move. And beloved, on that weekend, I had students coming up to me who received visions for the first time. I had other students coming up to me who had these radical revelations of, you know, it's not actually a retreat special moment that I need from God. It was a reminder that God is with me even in the normal times. Come on, somebody. Could you imagine? Imagine receiving that revelation at 14 years of age, that you don't need God to like absolutely wow you every single day. You actually just needed him to remind you that he is with you every day of your life. Oh, it was so beautiful to stand in those moments and to see not only their eyes pop out of their heads as God began to move, but also their hearts knit back together the way that God had intended. As his presence began to move in that room, we watched as young people extended hands of prayer and people began to jump and praise as God was healing people on that weekend. Church, I want to encourage you today for those that need to hear it. Just as Ezekiel will be sent to the Israelite people to encourage them, our God is alive and well today. He is seated on a throne of mercy, a throne of redemption. He is grace incarnate and he loves you completely. And even if this is just another stormy winter day for you, I want to remind you right off the offset, he is here. He is here. And even when you go home and you don't have that amazing choir to go home with you, right? Didn't they kill it today? That was amazing. Church, he's with you. He's with you. No matter what the doctor report says, no matter what the financial statements are saying, no matter what the bill at Costco is, right? When you pick yourself up off the ground, you remember, he is with you. Because the trumpets haven't sounded yet. And until the day that the trumpets sound, we trust and we believe he is on the throne, he has a plan, and there is purpose. So Ezekiel has this incredible moment. If you have your books, you can turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. We're going to read verses 25 to 28. As Ezekiel right now has been living alongside the rest of the Israelites 5 years, 5 years before he receives his call in Babylonian captivity. 5 years where he had watched and experienced the captivity happen, the destruction of the temple. 5 years as Ezekiel himself was wondering, God, where are you? Have you forgotten your people? And all of a sudden, verse 25, a voice came from above the expanse over their heads. When they stopped, they lowered their wings, and something like a throne with the appearance of lapis lazuli was above the expanse over their heads. On the throne, high above, was someone who looked like a human. For what seemed to be his waist up, I saw a gleam like amber, and what looked like fire enclosing it all around. For what seemed to be his waist down, I also saw what looked like fire. There was a brilliant light all around him. The appearance of the brilliant light around him was like that of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. You just hear Ezekiel trying with all of his might in Hebrew to describe the Holy of Holies. Trying with all of his might to describe, to just give us a glimpse of what the presence of the Lord looks like. This was the appearance of the likeness of the Lord's glory. Oh, somebody underline that, highlight that in your Bible. This was the appearance of just the likeness of the Lord's glory. When I saw it, I fell face down and heard a voice speaking. Church, this is our God. Right? The mere likeness of his presence, beyond full comprehension for Ezekiel to try to explain. This is what I saw. It looked like fire, but fire is just the best word that I have to describe it. And same with the bottom half. And there was a throne, and there was seated, and then there was light, and there was like it was raining and clouds and a rainy day with a rainbow. It's just amazing. You can hear Ezekiel trying to communicate that same thing that happens on your baptism day. Come on, those of you that have been baptized, right? You come out of those baptism waters, and there is such an anointing on the sacrament of baptism, for God has called us to it, that every single time someone comes out of the waters of baptism, I say, how are you feeling? And they can't put words to it. I just came out of water. I feel wet, but like not really wet, right? Like kind of wet, but like wet on like a sunny day, right? And it's so fun to stand with them and say, listen, I want to encourage you. You will spend the rest of your life trying to describe what it felt like to come out of the waters of baptism. Because when you meet with God, your heart fully comprehends it, but our language lacks the efficiency. Amen? Our language lacks the full ability to fully explain what it looks like to receive salvation. What does it look like to be forgiven of all of your sins? I can't. It is incredible. Ezekiel finds himself in Babylon, and now the presence of the Lord is with him. And we've seen the presence of the Lord appear in the Old Testament, whether it be in the temple or whether it be through pillars and clouds and fire. We see that the priests would have walked into these places, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies. We see this physical description of God with us. And now Ezekiel is left to answer this for us as well. But not only is he wrestling through receiving this incredible moment of awe-inspiring presence of God, but he also receives a prophetic call. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And so he said to me, son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I listened to the one who was speaking to me. He said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to the rebellious pagans who have rebelled against me. The Israelites and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this day. The descendants are obstinate and hard-hearted. I am sending you to them, and you must say to them, this is what the Lord God says, whether they listen or refuse to listen, for they are a rebellious house. They will know that a prophet has been among them. But you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, and do not be afraid of their words. Even though briars and thorns are beside you and you live among scorpions, do not be afraid to speak their word. Do not be afraid of their words or discouraged by the looks on their faces, for they are a rebellious house. Instead, speak my words to them, whether they listen or refuse to listen, for they are rebellious. Let's pray this morning. God, as you have called Ezekiel, Lord Jesus, we also take a moment this morning and ask, God, would you soften our hearts? God, I pray this morning that you would soften our hearts. God, give us hearts of flesh to hear from your word today, Lord Jesus, to not be so marred or pulled or dragged into all sorts of different directions, but instead this morning, God, would you help us to keep our eyes on you? God, let not the awe of your presence fall so quickly from our memory. God, I pray for each person here today, Lord, that have seen or witnessed or experienced those undeniable moments. Maybe it's simply your word, God, jumping off of the page, whatever it is, those moments where those here in this room can say, I know that I know that I know. God, keep our hearts soft, Lord Jesus, that in the midst of trouble and turmoil, in the midst of persecution and attack, Lord God, that we would not allow the enemy to harden our hearts towards your word. But instead, God, give us ears to hear, and may we not be a rebellious generation. Instead, Lord God, may we find ourselves on our faces before you, giving you praise, giving you worship, and standing in awe. And we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. As Ezekiel receives his call, there's two main things that we want to point out here. And it's important for us, even in 2026, that we take the word of the Lord as it was spoken to the Israelite people and ask God, God, this word that is timeless, how would you apply it today? The first is this. It is God who tells Ezekiel who to prophesy to, the exiles of Judah. Who do you think he would have rather have spoken with, right? Who would Ezekiel have been ready to bring God's commands to? Well, of course, to the Babylonians, those who had not only taken Judah captive, but had now held them captive for 5 years. But instead of Ezekiel being sent out to those that don't know the Lord, come on, somebody. God says, Ezekiel, first I want to work on the hearts of those who know me. Ooh. At this moment, God is not looking to address Babylon or to address the Babylonians. He is with his people, and he is for them, and he has a plan for them, and he has a strategy in place. He has an intention for them to step into all that they have been called to. Church, I want to encourage you that even after 5 years of captivity, God's promises for his people haven't changed. And what God is going to do for his people is clearly stated in one of my favorite chapters of Ezekiel, chapter 36. We'll get there eventually, but let's just skip ahead because it's so good. Let's just skip ahead just really quick. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 26, God's intention for his people. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Come on, somebody. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What is God saying? He's saying, my people, I will not leave you where you are. Though you may find yourself in a season of discouragement, though you may find yourself in a season of wandering, though you may find yourself in a season of doubt or questioning, my plan for you is that your heart would be made new and my spirit would live within you. I will soften your heart towards me and give you that heart of flesh. God says to Ezekiel, prophesy these things to the exiles of Judah, that he is going to remove the rebellious heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. In using Ezekiel's life, this is going to happen, but it's not going to be easy. If you were in HeartStrong during the past week, you heard from Pastor Cassie as she led, and she talked about how for a year Ezekiel, ate food. You can read it in Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 5, where Ezekiel ate food for about a year off of poop and different things. It's exciting. And you're like, what? Go read it, guys. Come on, HeartStrong. Get HeartStrong. Get in this book. God is going to use Ezekiel. God is going to move in the life of his people, amen? But it's not going to be easy. Because God doesn't intend it to be easy? No. Because even though the people are hearing and seeing that God is on the move, you see God continuing to wrestle with their own hearts. Their ears will hear what it is that Ezekiel says, but their hearts are still geared towards their needs and their wants and their desires. God will begin to challenge them, not only about their rebellion, but their idolatrous worship. Some of the Israelites will begin to look to the idols of Babylon and say, you know what? Maybe if they're seeing success here, maybe this will work for me and my family too. The second thing that we want to focus on is this, that the truth can be known and not accepted. The book of Hebrews actually pulls on this exact same thing, which makes Ezekiel's prophetic ministry to exile Judah really, really difficult. It says this, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, but encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end in the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Truth known, but not accepted. Truth heard, but not trusted. Hearts hardened toward the Lord. The exiles in Judah find themselves in a situation where not only are they in captivity, but they've also done something deeper. They have stepped outside of the covenant that Yahweh established. Where God continually draws them and pulls them closer, you see in the rebellion that their hearts lean further and further away from him. As you're reading through this exile period, as you're reading through this prophetic text, remind yourselves that God is the God of the covenant. He is the covenant keeper. Aren't you so thankful today? What does this mean for you? It means that he never changes his mind about you. Thank you, God. God never changes his mind about you. The book of Hebrews says that even right now, in the Holy of Holies, Christ, our intercessor, is speaking on our behalf. Father, those are our children. And he calls you by name. Just for a moment, let yourself be centered on that. Do you realize? Because God isn't us, right? Like, he's greater than us. And in his infinite capability, he's actually able to speak all of your names at the same, because he's God. Come on. Right? And so this is the image that Hebrews gives us, that God is seated in this everlasting, in this eternal relationship, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they are constantly conversing. They are in relationship. Church, it's why we're here in the first place, because he first existed in relationship and has invited us into that same relationship. Oh. Oh. What kind of God is this? And in that relationship, it says that the Son, who is our intercessor, is constantly speaking about us. Church, it's not just the cross that screams his love for us. It is his eternal focus on you. He loves you with everything that he has. The challenge for us is to not just hear it. Somebody. The challenge for us is to not just hear it. The challenge for us is to not just go through Jeremiah and go through Ezekiel and hear over and over and over and over again, return to me, return to me. I love you. I love you. I'm for you. I have a plan. This is going to work out. Listen, come to me. Come to me. You can actually quicken this. You know one of the most amazing things about Jesus' ministry? You guys know Jesus? Super good guy. So Jesus' ministry, right, as he begins his ministry, how does he begin it? The Holy Spirit takes him into the wilderness, and he's there for how many days? 40 days. If you rewind to everything that we've just walked through, do you know how many days the Israelites were supposed to be in the desert? 40 days. They end up spending 40 years there because of what we're talking about. Come on. Come on, why is Jesus able to step into the wilderness and step out of it and dive into his ministry? Because Jesus, over and over and over again in his ministry, hears the words in the Old Testament, and instead of turning his heart hard, he stays soft before the Father. Not my will, God, but your will be done. That is our Father's, that is our Savior, that is our beloved Jesus. This is his heart towards the Father. And church, it's what God is calling the Israelites to in these verses. In Jeremiah and Ezekiel, return to me, I love you, I'm with you, I am for you. I will lead you into the land of milk and honey, and there will be such prosperous times for you. But remain in me as I remain for you. Judah has broken their covenant. They have heard the words of the Lord, but instead they have trusted their deceitful hearts. They've gone after things that they want and that they need, and instead of challenging and walking with the Lord, they have begun to walk on their own. But God hasn't changed his mind about them. And so he sends yet another prophet, Ezekiel, before them. To engage this, God is going to use this prophet to encourage them and bring them under a new understanding of their incredible purpose. Church, this morning, how you are created, it matters. And God has intention for your life. He is not a God of coincidence, amen? Anyone here been following God long enough that coincidence has just become like you just must be the most coincidental person of all time, right? Where you walk into a situation, you're like, oh, that must be just coincidence, and then it happens over, and you're like, okay, I get it. Something's taking place. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 7 and 9 says this, look, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. I have made your forehead like a diamond, harder than flint. Don't be afraid of them or discouraged by the look on their faces, though they are a rebellious house. God creates Ezekiel with the ability to withstand the discrimination, the attack that is going to come to him, not from the Babylonians, but from his own people. God has a specific assignment for Ezekiel, and he has made him specifically with the capacity to endure. Church, this morning, I want to make it clear that God also has a specific assignment for you. He's intentional and never accidental. He has a use and a desire for each of our lives, and all of our assignments will look different because none of us look the same. Some of the things that I find hilarious, if I sent you in a meme, you'd be like, oh, Pastor Mitch, that's not even that funny. But I think it's hysterical. And some of the things that I have passion over, you may not. But church, God wants to use us all with our unique qualities, with our unique characteristics, with the unique group that he has surrounded you with. You have influence outside of this church, somewhere in this city, that no one else in this room has been invited into. Why? Because God has a plan. God has a plan to use you specifically for the assignment that he has designed you for. And there are no small assignments in the kingdom of the Lord. Amen? Why? Because every single person that you have been surrounded with are extremely important to God. How important? So important that he would send his son to die on the cross. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 continues. Now, at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them warning from me. What God has asked him to do and how he has created him are interwoven specifically for how Ezekiel's life will be used prophetically and in the everyday before the people of Judah. What does this mean for us today? Church, it's a reminder that God's presence is holy, that he is here for you. One of the most profound things that happened on that youth retreat, I started off by telling you that some of them had a realization that it wasn't actually this profound moment that they needed from the Lord. And God, in his providence, kind of set this up for the weekend. One of the challenges that I gave to the students was, you know, we find ourselves, and you know, they're 14 to 18 years of age, but those of us that have been walking with God much longer, we also need this revelation. Church, sometimes we find ourselves in these positions where we're saying, God, we just need you to show up in these unbelievable ways. God, could you show me again that you are who you say that you are? God, could you reveal yourself? God, heal this cancer. God, pay these bills. God, do all these amazing things where it's not in the revelation. It's not in the revelation. It's not in that incredible moment that we actually need to find ourselves. It's in that moment of saying, God, would you do these things? But even if you don't, you're still God. And so with these youth on the weekend, we challenged them. We said, you know, maybe God isn't showing up in this way because, you know, he did that before for you at camp. And he did that before for you at retreat. And he did that before for you at this other time. And it just hasn't really seemed to stick. Maybe what it is that you need is something new and something fresh and something deeper. Church, can I encourage you today that our world is looking for something deeper? Come on. Our world is looking for something deeper. In a time where there is access to so much truth, in a time where there is access to so much information, in a time where there is access to just so much stuff, we have never lived in a society that has been more filled with anxiety, that has been more filled with despair, and that is desperate because of a lack of hope. Why? Because it's none of that stuff that we actually need, amen? It's Jesus. It's Jesus and Him fully understood. It's the truth and the cross presented as exactly what it is. Listen, what people need is exactly what Ezekiel got, but it might not be this incredible moment of fire and rainbows and all these other things. What it might be is that God hasn't intentionally placed you in their lives to simply allow your heart to be soft enough to speak the word of God where it needs to be spoken, to allow your life to represent exactly who God is, to ask them, hey, can I just pray for you? Can I pray for you? Church, you would be astounded of how many people, although they may not have a faith in the Lord, are ready to be prayed for. I believe even in this room, there are those today that God is speaking to you and saying, don't leave until you get prayer. Why? Because prayer makes a difference. The opportunity to stand with the Lord, the opportunity to sit in that place and say, God, here is my heart. I give it to you. No expectations. It's yours and yours alone. Now, Ezekiel is going to be challenged and pulled into some very difficult circumstances and asked to give some very difficult messages. Church, a difficult message for us today is, what does it look like in this generation to properly represent Jesus to a world that desperately needs Him? What does it look like for us to receive the challenge first here in this room before we ever walk out and say, God, would you change this city? God, would you change this country? God, would you change this world? He's speaking through the book of Ezekiel, through the book of Jeremiah, and say, that is my intention. But first, I have to start with you. Come on, somebody. Come on. Anybody in this room over the last couple of months, you've been feeling God putting His finger on a couple of things, saying this is not wrong, but it's a little too important. It's not that this is bad, but it takes all of your focus. Or maybe you are here in this room and God's been putting His finger on some sin that hasn't been dealt with. And the enemy has been trying to wrap it in shame, because that's what he tries to do, right? In those moments where God wants to bring freedom, the enemy will try to lie and say, see, God doesn't think you're worth it. No. Right? We had this a long time ago. We gave the example, church, if you ever see me with spinach in my teeth and you don't tell me, that's not love. Hello? Right? Tell a brother. All right, I'm standing at the door greeting how many people with spinach in my teeth. See, but we allow the enemy to contort that, don't we? Where God will say, hey, my beloved, this is not what I have intended for you. And the enemy will say, see, now God's pointing out that's actual love. It is not loving for a God who is holy and righteous and desires for you to be clothed in the same, who desires for you each and every day to look more and more and more like His Son. Church, it is not loving for the Holy Spirit to stay silent if we are walking in sin. It's not shame. It's conviction. It's God saying, I have more for you than what it is that this ash is able to provide. The things of the world will all pass away, but the things of the Lord will live on. Church, if Canada wins gold today, I'm going to be super pumped. And if they win silver, even though it's second place, I'm going to be super bummed. But even as I was preparing last night for this morning, there was a reminder from this text that came on my heart that it just can't matter that much. To allow something like that to change my perception of the day is such a small view of what it is that God has intended. Because we know that there is a war going on in our city, in our homes, in our schools, and in our workplaces. A war between the light and the darkness. And here in this room, if you know God, you have been called to the light. And we are called to live in this space humbly, graciously, and with our ears turned toward the Lord. And so this morning, my challenge to you is not just to hear the words that are spoken to Ezekiel, but also to go back and remember the words that God has spoken to you. What has he said? What has he called you to? What has he set you free from? It was not just for that time and for that moment, but it was actually to be used as fuel to keep your heart soft. High schoolers in this room, I am believing with all of my heart that we are going to see an entire high school declare the name of Jesus. That it is going to move so powerfully amongst your school that the news stations aren't going to like it, but they're not going to have a choice but to report on it because of the great things that God is doing. Beloved, I believe the same thing for your workplaces. Wherever it is that you find yourself, entire departments meeting together for Bible study. I believe the same thing for your homes. Loved ones that aren't walking with the Lord, that we will see them with soft hearts towards Jesus. But the same thing that God said to Ezekiel, we speak over this place first. God, soften our hearts first. God, if your intention is to set my high school free, do something new in me, that I would be a right representative for you. God, if your intention is to set my workplace free, God, start right here in my life today. God, I hear what it is that you're saying. Soften my heart. Let it not be hard towards you. God, if it's your intention to set Kanata free, then Lord Jesus, call us deeper right here at Life Center Kanata, because all we want to do is be faithful and walk, Lord Jesus, with everything that we have into a city that doesn't know you yet, not representing ourselves and our own desires and our own wants, but representing the cross. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for the call that you gave to Ezekiel. And Lord, just as we start off into this book, Lord, I pray that this would be a constant reminder to us over these next couple of weeks, Lord, that you have called us, that you've called each person in this room to know who you are. And God, we lift up your holy name this morning. Lord, I pray that every young person in this room, Lord Jesus, if they were on retreat and already the enemy has tried to distract them or pull them away, God, bring them back to their journals. Bring them back to that moment, Lord God. Remind them once again that you have not changed. It just might be where our focus is. God, for those in this room that aren't so young anymore and that need the same reminder, maybe it was the time of our salvation. Maybe it was a previous heartstrong message. God, whatever the case may be, if we find ourselves in a situation today where our hearts have become hard towards you, God, would you help us today to remember, to recall, to go back to what it was that you've done, what it is that you've said, Lord Jesus, because it wasn't just for that time. It was your word off the page into our hearts reminding us, I have chosen you to be first among your workplace, to be first among your school. But the intention, God, was never that we would be the only, because your word is meant to go forward. And as your word goes forward, Lord God, we know that no weapon formed against it shall prosper. We know, Lord Jesus, that the gates of hell cannot stand in the midst of your word being spoken. And so, God, for each and every person in this room, God, would you soften our hearts? God, maybe we look around and we find ourselves in our own type of Babylon. God, would we be reminded today that you are speaking to us first? Lord, help us to look more like your son. May we be humble in our ministry. May we be gracious, Lord Jesus. May we be wise. May we know your word. And more than anything else, Lord Jesus, may we be willing to serve. God, make us servants as your son was a servant. We ask this today in your holy name. Amen. 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 Lily, would you come and close our service? Church, have a great rest of your day. Go Canada, go. Don't tell me the score at the door. I'll figure it out later. Have a great week, and may God soften our hearts towards a world that doesn't know him yet. In Jesus' name.